My name is Kalia Davey. I live in Bundaberg. I'm talking with my sister Georgia, who also lives in Bundaberg. Today is the 7th of November. We are in Bundaberg and we are recording with the Story Project. We are going to talk to my grandfather Malachi about
His life. Grandfather, as you know, mine and Kalia, we only have two kids and our mum and dad in our house. When you were little, how many kids did you have?
I grew up in a family of 16.
Whoa.
And 15. 10 boys and 5 girls.
Did you spend time with your grandparents like we did?
A lot. On my first 23 years, I was with my grandfather. And I have to go, my father always sent one of us to a minister, church minister, who doesn't have any children. And they send one of us to go and help them out. And I'm have this time attorney to go and stay with this minister. And that's the only time I separate with my grandfather. And the time I went to high school, which I was at the high school for 4-5 years. Then after that, I went to Fiji and he passed away when I was in Fiji.
What was your house like? Was it different to where you live now?
Yes, we have a European house. It's a big house and it's a veranda right around in three sides. Mm-hmm. And there's only 2 bedrooms and a hall. And the girls in one bedroom and the father and mother in one bedroom and we boys in the hall. And we slept in the hall. And later on, our father had plenty land. And later on, we built another house and we very close to the sea. And that's where we live.
So where did you grow up? Where did you grow up?
Where,
yeah. In what country did you live in?
Oh, where I grew up, in Tonga.
Yeah.
Yes, I grew up in Tonga, and in a little island is called Lotofoa. The island is 4 villages, mm-hmm. and it's called Foa, and that's where I grew up.
What was the electricity and power?
No electricity in those days in Tonga. No electricity. Only our transport, if I have to say that now, is horses.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So when were you born? When
I was born, 1930,
mm-hmm.
28th of December.
So what do you guys do for fun, like all your brothers and sisters?
Fun, that is the great thing. We always have fun. We fun all day. When we get up in the morning, the first thing we do, we have to feed the pig, feed the chook, move the horses. And we have fun. We do, if we have to eat before we go to school, we have to cook our own food. The girls, they don't do any cooking, and we boys do the cooking. And we have a lot of fun. Fun is not the type of fun you Australian or European people have. Our fun is when we play sports. And we climb trees, and we play in the mud. And then on a raining day, that is the biggest fun we ever had. We play in the mud, the whole village kids, and then in the end end up in the sea, climb up in the mast of the boat and jump from there to the bottom. And that's our fun.
What was where'd you get your food and what was cooking like?
We grow our own food.
All of it?
All of it. We grow sweet potatoes, tapioca, yams, taro. And we got a breadfruit, which is a fruit on a tree. And then we eat. The pawpaw is grow wild. The banana is grow wild. Mango is grow wild. Any fruit at all, you can pick it in the bush. And how to cook? You ask for cooking. We cook, most of our cooking gear is a cast iron pot. Cast iron kettle, cast iron frying pan, and we cook that in the open air. And if it's raining, we got a little house where we cook inside there.
So when you cook, did you cook for your whole 15 members of your family?
No. When I grew up, when I become, I suppose, 8 or 9, all these eldest boys and girls, they're in high school.
Yeah.
And we only cook for the rest. Yes, when we cook for the rest of the family.
So did you go to school in the village you lived in?
Yes, we go to school, and we only have one building. And in that building, again, is about 50 meter long, and it's about 25 meter wide, and all of the whole 6 classes in that room. And we have section for our school. Yes, we go to school. And at school, this is the best part of the school. When we first go to the school in the morning, we line up, and the school teacher come in and check all of your fingernail, check if you comb your hair, check if you wear your clothes properly, if your clothes is clean, and if your fingernail is long, you put it up, and the teacher hit your finger with a rule. And then the prefect put your name down for the punishment day next week.
Did that happen to you very often?
Oh, not very often. Very or not very often. But at the thing I do wrong, talk in the church. And the prefect put me down for punishment.
Was it just your family or did everyone
no,
in the whole
the whole village. The whole village go to that particular worship. Yes.
So each day to school, what time did you start? What time did you finish?
We start, I can't exactly tell you. It could be 8:30.
Okay.
8:30 to 3:00 every day, say. And and that's what we do.
Is it like the school that you have now with different grades and different year levels as you
go up? We only call class 1, class 2, class 3, up class 6.
So you start at class 1 when you're youngest
that's
and then
right.
you go up
yes.
as you get older.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when you get to class 6, then that's when you sit for exam to go to high school,
so,
high school.
How old were you when you started school?
How old I was when I started school? I was 6.
Was everybody the same age?
Mostly, yes.
So after you came back from school and before you left, did you have chores that you only by yourself had to do?
After school?
Yeah.
When after school, see, this, when we were growing up, there's 4 of us boys at the school at the time and 2 girls. When we get home, the mother already left some food for us to eat. We only eat twice a day. She left some food for us. Before she go to the bush, what I call bush, that's where the farm, the garden are.
Yeah.
And left some food there for us to eat. And after that, we come to the bush. We go up to the bush to the father and the mother and finish the day job over there.
So what did you do after you finished high school and all your schooling? How did you get a job? What was your job after that?
I went to high school when I was 16. Because when I was 12, as I said, I was helping a minister, church minister.
Yeah.
And what we do, we cut copra from the coconut. And then when we finish, we have to cut it from the bush to the village. And all day, I forget to give the horse a drink.
Yeah.
And finally, the horse, I can't control the horse on my way back. Finally, the horse stand of his own to the well. And by that time, the minister wait, and he couldn't find me. And he said, oh, Malachi must be waiting for the church. I'll better go home. Came home, went up to the father, and he said, where's Malachi? Did you see Malachi? And he said, no. But he saw a woman before that and asked the woman, did you see Malachi? Oh, yes, I saw Malachi when on the horse an hour earlier. So when they say that to the father, father said, I think this fella fell somewhere. When they came back, I'm unconscious on top of the horse. and they came in and pick me up. It used to be a big trough in a well. Mm-hmm. Pick me up and dip it in there, and then I wake up. Then they took me home. Nobody go to church on that day.
Because they were going to see you?
Because they come and see me and take me back to the village.
So when you were young, did someone teach you to ride a horse, or did you learn
yourself? Oh, that is fun. When we get up, when you are three, you ride on the horses every day. We grew up with horses. We used to have five horses, six dogs, and hundreds of goats, and few cows.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, we used to love riding on horses.
So, how did you first get your first job, like after you finished high school?
Oh, that is a long story, girls. When I finished before I finished the high school, I used to, I'll better tell you this little story. In Tonga, when the European people come to the school or to the country, they always have girls to come and do their cooking and all that sort of thing, washing, ironing, and all that sort of thing. And this particular time, a European farmer came up to our school. And in the custom of Tonga, you don't give girls to work for unmarried men.
Mm-hmm.
So they send me to be the cook for him. And I stayed with him for 2 years. And he decided to, his mother is very sick, and he to come to Australia. And when he, and we decide, I come with him.
Yeah.
And then we fix all our paper except to the British counselor to sign my paper. On the day we're supposed to hop on a boat, the church find out, or the country find out that I'm going to Australia, they stop me. They try to stop me. Why?
Yeah.
It's better for me to say that now, because I used to be a good little boy. They always like me, and they don't want to lose me. So I stay back. Stay back after my school, my high school. The very next year, you believe it or not, girl, the very next year, what they do? They start a new primary school at the school. And I'm the first school teacher. With no training, no nothing. I'm the first school teacher. And I was teached there from January to June. And then when we come back after June holiday, we only got two school holidays in Tonga at that time. When we come back, there's another new school. It's about 10 kilometer from the school, high school. They sent me to start that school. And I was there for the rest of the year. And the very next year, I was there for another 6 months. And then it's nobody look after the farm where that European fella supposed to be. So they sent me there when I was 22 years old to manage the farm. And that's what I did. That's the job I first do after the school, high school.
So where did you learn to be a builder?
I went to Fiji.
Yeah.
I went to Fiji in 1953. I went there to learn my trade. And when I get there, the big boss is from Australia. His name is Mr. Wan. Mr. Wan said to me, Malakai, what you want to do? Do you want to be a builder or you want to be a cabinet maker? And I said, it's in your hands, sir. And he said, I think it would be better to be a cabinet maker. Because if you go outside, your first 3 years, all what you do, bring that cook, boil that billy and all that sort of thing. So I stayed there. And my first pay is £2.06. £2.06. And that's what I got for the year.
For the whole year?
For the whole year, yeah.
It's not very much.
Yeah.
So before you went to Australia, how did you get to Fiji from Tonga?
By boat. There were two steamships, boat company, they call themselves they got cargo from New Zealand to Fiji, to Samoa, to Niue, to Tonga. And that's how we hop in on the same boat, go back the same way to Niue, Samoa, Fiji, and New Zealand.
But you know that you've told us a story that you met Grandma when you were in Fiji. So why did you leave Fiji to go to Australia?
That's where I met my wife, Elsa. She came up there to teach at the Methodist Church High School girls. Mm-hmm. And I was teaching at the Boys High School. And that's where we met. They used to have a Pacific church camp.
Mm-hmm.
And we having people from different New Guinea, Solomon Island, Australia, Samoa, Fiji, Tonga, everywhere. And that's where I met your grandmother.
How old were you when you first met?
How old I was, that is back to 1963.
So how old were you? You would have been 33.
Yes.
Okay. So like the changes from Tonga to Fiji, was it different? Like how they did things there, the way they did it, was it different?
Yes, it's much different because Tonga, we don't have any industry at all.
Mm-hmm.
Tonga, we don't have any way of getting money. We only got two ways. One is a copra, as I talked about this earlier, and banana. And but in Fiji, plenty business in Fiji. They got mining and buildings and everything in Fiji. And life in Fiji is much, much better. And I involve a lot in church.
Mm. Why did you come to Australia?
Because I'm married. We came to Australia to get married. We came to Australia to get married and went back. After a year, we had a child, which is your mother.
Yes.
And she screamed a lot. She screamed a lot, and the mother can't handle that. And I said, well, two things. My wages met effect when in Fiji, I used to be the best wages or salary in Tonga at the time, £15 a week.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, yeah. £15 a week, because I used to do my own business. And then we decided we come to Australia because for your great, great grandmother to help to look after your mother.
Oh. So once you came to Australia, how was it? You've been in Australia for a while now. How was it watching the country like develop to what it is now?
I grew up at Bagara. The children grew up at Bagara, and we live at Miller Street number 66. And it was the best fun for my children. I had five children, and the boys almost live in the sea. They live in the, matter of fact, most of the night, they sleep on the sand. Philip, Mark, and Timmy, they build their own little
shack.
Out of the tree sticks, leaves. Yeah. And they dig the hole on the sand and they sleep there. And every so often I woke up and check, you all right, boys? Oh, yeah, we all right, Dad. And they sleep there. Sometimes they fright of something else. They come home again. But that's where they sleep, the boys. And we grew up at Bagara. The life in Australia is wonderful. Very good. Why is wonderful? Because you allowed to do what you want to do.
Yeah.
And that's where the life in. And all the children, they grew up at Bagara. They go to school at Bagara. And then Anne went to Kepnock High School, and most of the other boys and girls went to Bagara, to Kepnock also.
So did you keep in touch to your other brothers and sisters that were in Tonga?
We've been back to about four, five, six times now to Tonga. The first time we went, I took the two young ones, Alison and Tim. The second one, we take Philip and Mark and Philip's wife. Yes, we've been in touch with Tonga and the people. I only got one brother still live in Tonga.
Mm.
And all our family is spread around the world, in America, in New Zealand, here in Australia. Yes.
So once you came to Australia, what did you do with your career as a builder?
I started off work with a builder. His name's Joe Gaffney. and we work there till I decided to the time for me to build a house at Bagara. At 1969, I built our 7-bedroom house at Bagara. Mm-hmm. And do you know who's my labor? It's your mother. When she was 5. I want any nail, it's a double story. And I want any nail, here she come up with the nail up to the top. If I want anything, she's come up to the top. And it took me 3 months to build that house at Bagara. And the story was, here's another funny story. We decided to finish the bottom section, mm-hmm. so we can leave it there and then work on the top one when we get more money.
Yeah.
And I found out that everybody who do that in the town, they never finish the house. So I decided, no, I'll give up all my time to build the whole house and finish in one hit. Take me 3 months, and I think it's 2 weeks to finish the building.
So when you were in Fiji, did you go to a school to learn how to be a builder, or did you have an apprenticeship?
Yes, we have something they call a technical college, and I only go there at night time, every night, mm-hmm. from 6 to 9. My boss, Mr. Wan, he's very, very good to me. Because I'm a good boy, he said to me, Malakai, I'll send you to the technical school, college. And I said, can I take some of my Tongan boys? And he said, okay, you go and pick the boys to go. And I went up and picked 12 boys to go to technical college. And the boss, the company, paid for our education. Mm-hmm. What happening? They drop off every so on, they drop off. They can't take the heart of the learning.
Yeah.
So in the end of the year, there's only 3 of us Tongan still last. So the boss said to me, Malakai, next year, see only 3 of you, we're going to pay your fee. The rest, if anyone to come, we take it off from their wages, and then they can go to tech. Nobody else come. So it took me 4 years to complete my technical college.
So you said you went to church a lot when you were in Tonga. So did you go to church very often when you moved to Australia?
Yes, when I came to Australia, we involved a lot in the church, Methodist church. And then we become, a time they decided to become a uniting church. And I didn't like that. Because there was a saying, the more people involved, the better our Christianity. And I said, no, that's not true. You only going to the uniting church to make your material things easier. So I don't like that. And at the time we had 7 ministers in the town. They come every second night to ask me to come back to the church. No, if you go ahead with that idea to change to uniting church, I won't be in it. So I left the church. And still, they used me to preach the gospel around in the town, to Howard, to Childers, to Chin Chin, to Tobin Lee, to Bagara, to Bernard Head, and all that, yes. After about another 6 years, I decided, oh, who is hypocrite in here? Mm-hmm. Is the church or me? And I said, fellas, you wake up to yourself. I think we better do something different. So I said, I won't touch you anymore.
Because when we go to school, our teachers give us homework, like stuff to do work at home. Did your teachers give you work that you had to finish at home?
At home? Back to Tonga. Back to Tonga, when we grow up, we always, as I said earlier, we always have fun. We play marbles. We climb coconut trees. And our activities on the day is to cut it alone with a cane knife, mm-hmm. and feed the pig, as I think I told you that. And also, see, when I said to you, we got plenty land. So we decided, one of my brothers decided he wanted to build one of the house. So we All what we do, we climb the coconut tree, cut the leaves, and the girls weave the leaves for the roof. Because the Tongan house is the roof and the wall is made out of coconut leaves. And we always sleep on the floor. On a mat, tapa, we got it. We got a cotton tree. There's a cotton tree we use and we very good for pillow. And that's our pillow.
So you told us all about what your childhood was like back in Tonga. Was it interesting to watch how your children grew up, how different their education and stuff was to what it was like when you were younger?
I'll tell you a little story. In the school, on Wednesday, there's our day outdoor. We go to the garden. And we used to, this is a good one for you. We used to have a man. He always come up, frighten us, if say, call out to my mother's name, Olivia. Olivia, have you got a naughty boy here? No, that's all right. And he sharp the knife. And he said, if it anybody naughty, I'll come and eat them. And we always fright about this man. He always do that to every kid in town. So he make a cane knife out of hand saw. For his son. And as I said, we go to garden on Wednesday. One day we thought we had enough with this this boy's father frightened us. So there is a tree, it's a very soft tree. One of the boys decided this is the way we do it. He hit the knife on that tree and stuck there. And the knife is about that thick, it's about 6 inches. Or 12 millimeter wide,
yeah.
And stuck the whole thing in there. So we decided we go home, leave him there. So half of the boys with him and half of the boys with the other fellas. You know what we do? End up, we fight. I didn't belong. I always a very weak boy. I don't belong to the fight. And they fight. And somehow, they cut the fellas' thing from in the... cut the thumb off.
Ooh.
And the thumb fall on the ground.
Ew,
we pick it up, they pick it up, join it in, and get the banana leaves and wrap it up with.
Yeah.
Okay. So we took it to, we went to town. Our medicine for everything is the salt water. So we take him straight to the sea, put in the salt water and wrap it up, get a bit of tapa and wrap it up again. He didn't even tell his parents. This is on Wednesday. Don't forget this is Wednesday. On Monday is our punishment day at the school.
Mm-hmm.
When we come up to the punishment, the school always put up your hand, like this and hit like that. When he come up to pick up, and the teacher said to him, what's wrong with your finger? He look around, didn't want to tell. What's wrong with your finger? One of the boys get up. He lost his thumb. That's the only one other people besides we boys know about his farm. In the end, the boy's farm was connected. The only thing is a little crooked a little bit,
yeah.
But it was there.
Cool.
So that is what our fun we used to have in when we are children. Okay, what's the next one?
Okay, you've always, every year we'll have a Tongan feast and like you're trying to bring some of what you did in Tonga back to Australia.
Yes.
So do you like, when with the rest of us grandkids, are you going to keep doing that as the younger ones get older to show them what it was like, what you did when you were younger?
Well, I think you girls now know how I do the Tongan feast. See, there's, in Australia, everybody talk about food buried underground.
Yeah.
They call it hangi. And I said, if you call my food is hangi, you're not coming to eat. Mine is umu.
Yeah.
U-M-U. So I cook underground. Yes, I do a lot of fundraising for the Lions, for the Rotary, and for the church, for any clubs. And the biggest Tongan fish I ever had is for the Moore Park Lifesaver.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how many people came? 1,200.
Holy. That's a lot of people.
And a lot of people. And the But I managed with my three boys to cook the food with those people. And we used to charge $12 per head. And then for family tickets, it's $30 for family.
So how different was the sport that's played here to the sport that was played in Tonga?
Oh, sport, we play a lot of cricket in Tonga. A lot of cricket. My father and my uncle, they one of the best cricket in my days in Tonga. And we boys, we play cricket with an orange ball, or we can cut a cricket ball from a tree, from a stick.
Yeah.
And when it's hit you, you feel it. Yes, we play a lot of sport. We do a lot of racing. We compete every day in everything, anything we do. If we cut the lawn, we show who gets their face. And that's our way of doing things. Everything, if we dig a hole, who takes the deepest hole in a short time sort of thing. Climb the coconut tree, who gets to the top and back. I grew up together with four of my brothers, and we do that a lot. We go and climb trees. We pick up four trees and up and down, up and down. And here's another sport we do. A section of our village is a rock, and another section is sand. And those rocks, I reckon it will be 20 meters high.
Yep.
What we do, on high tide, we go up there, cut the coconut leaves, put under our arm, and jump from there like a helicopter. And we jump. And it's very good. Sometimes if you're strong enough to hang on to the coconut leaves, you can go in like this and fall down nicely. But if you're nervous, you let go of the coconut tree and you fell down. Sometimes you fell on a rock.
Oh,
that is still fun. Still fun. Still fun. And that's what we do. And that rock there is in front of us is a deep water. It's a little section, it's very deep. And we go there, the high tide, we go and jump down there. But that's how our fun is. We always love to go and swim in the water, in the sea.
Here's a question I've always wanted to know. I was looking through photo albums and found that when I was a baby, you were always sort of around when we were building our house. So I've always wanted to know, did you actually help build our first house before we moved into town? You know, the one out at Bungadoo?
Did you build it?
Or helped?
No, I didn't build that one. That is a company called McAfee, I think. McAfee Builders, they build that one for you. I do a lot of things for you. I think you've got a sand pit over there.
Yeah.
I build that for you. And what else over there? And
a lot of other things. You have swings at your house now.
So to go back to Tonga, you said that you have to be clean and you have to be nicely presented to go to school. Did you have a uniform or did you have to set clothes?
No, we don't have a uniform, but we always wear white.
Yeah.
White to school, white to the church. And no, we don't have any other clothes, it's only white. But at home, in the garden, you wear anything at all.
Yeah.
You wear anything at all, and you leave it that way. Yes. Here's another thing. One day, every day we go to the bush, we collect dry coconut for making copra. And we use the horse, you know, the collar of the horse for the cart.
Yeah.
Sometimes the horse damage or get a little sore on his shoulder there. But every Sunday, before we go to Sunday school, we must take the five horses to put out from the village to the bush to eat better grass. And I always saw my father say to the horse, back, back, back. And this particular day, I went up to the horse with the sore shoulder, and I said, back, back. I touched the sore, and the horse beat me at the back. The horse bit me at the back. So what I did, I just go inside, get a piece of tapa, put it in there. Don't forget, I wear white to the school, to the church. I put on my white shirt and went to the Sunday school. The Sunday school teacher said to me, Malachi, you got blood on your shirt. Oh, is it? And she picked it up, and I didn't tell her it's a horse bite. Till I come home, and she came with push me to the house and tell the mother the smaller guy got a sore in his back. The mother said to me, "What you done?" And I said, "The horse bit me." So I've been through a lot of damage in my body when I was. And that one day, this is another thing I have to tell you. On Wednesday, as we go to the garden, we cut trees to fence up our school.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know, when you cut the tree and fell down, it is another little section, it comes sharp, didn't even quite break. And we didn't cut it off, but we fixed the fence, and we play soccer with a big orange. And as I ran back, one fella pushed me, and did you know, the stick flew from there to there.
Oh.
Luckily,
yeah.
Or fortunately, across the road there's a German fella, his name Fred Carr, and he saw what everything happened. The fella who pushed me, he fainted. Yeah. So he came back and asked to get a knife and cut the thing off, put me on a horse, take me to the next town, next island, which is to go by the horse, it take you about 2 hours and a half. But to go by boat, it will take you about 3/4 hour. So they take me on a horse over there and put it up there. So the doctor took the stick off, and the medicine or the treatment they put on is a course, push in egg refrain in there every second day.
Yeah.
And that's how it was. I always got something good in my life.
You were saying that lots of your other family from Tonga have like spread out around the world, like in America. Have you ever gone to different countries to visit them?
Yes, I went to America to see my sister there. And while I was there, she unfortunately, she was sick and passed away. I went to New Zealand. They have two of my brothers in New Zealand. And it's one of my brothers still in Sydney. And but today, the family everywhere. So, and that's what it is.
So, in relation to your other brothers and sisters, are you the youngest or the oldest?
No, I'm the number 7.
So you were basically in the middle?
I'm in the middle, yes.
Yeah. So, going back to Tonga, did you ever go, like, fishing? Did you go out on boats and stuff?
We love fishing. How we fish in Tonga? Here's another thing to tell you, girls. To go and get the lobster, you have to walk when the tide is up to above your knee, and with a spear, free. And then you go there, half an hour, you fill up a bag. You know the thing they call here, modern bay bucks, we don't touch there, they rubbish. We don't eat them, they rubbish. Fishing is beautiful. We go fish night, day, but the best time to do fishing at night time. You can get anything at all.
So do you use a fishing rod or do you have a...
Oh, there is a competition we used to have. We use bamboo, that's our fishing rod. And we used to have 6 or 7 hook in the end, and we go on to fishing competition. We do a lot of competition in everything, and we have a competition of fishing. Who get the first fish? And that's, yes, we love fishing, we love do anything together. With the village.
Yeah.
I tell you another thing. I don't know if we got enough time. We went one day. When we have our shower, most of we boys, we go and swim in the water for our bath.
Yeah.
And one night we go out there and we had something. You know how the horse do that? Yeah. It's a turtle.
Yeah.
And we run home, and because we frightened, what the big noise in the sea, the father said, "That's a turtle. We better go get back and get it." They used to make a net out of coconut leaves, or coconut fiber.
Yeah.
And that's stronger than any other thing. So they floated in to get this big turtle. It was a monster. And I reckon, I can't tell how long it was in measuring, but I reckon it will be big from here to you.
Yeah.
Well, and so it's about that wide. Yeah. and the head is very bigger than your head. And it was a big animal.
So,
and the whole village, we eat dead dolls in town.
Oh. Yeah, I was going to say, what did you do with
it? We eat dead dolls. We eat whales. Oh, that's a good meat, whales. Oh, good meat.
Did you just eat the whales that washed up on the shore? Or did you?
I don't know if we got enough time to tell you how to catch whales. Yeah. It's about 8 or 9 people on a 32-foot boat. And as we get closer, a fella get up to the top and he look for where the, you know, where the whales blow up.
Yeah.
And he said, this one is about 30 meter away. So we get up there. When we get closer, they throw a spear.
Yeah.
And the whale take you around, and then we, about 3/4 hour, come back, and then we try to get closer, throw another spear. And then as soon as you see the whales blow up blood, two men dive in, sew up his mouth. For why? Why they do that? Because if they drag that home with their mouth open, it full up with water, and the things sunk to the bottom. So they sew up his mouth, and then they tow it back to the village. And then when leave it about 100 meters off the shore, and everybody go there and cut their own piece to eat.
So did you cook it? Like, did you
cook it? It's beautiful meat. Beautiful meat. You cook it with coconut coconut milk. Very good. Good meat. And the rest leave it there for the shark to eat.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh,
thank you for talking to us about your life.
Thank you very much. I think there's only 1/4 of it to tell you, girls. Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
No problem.